Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I might have told you the story before, but I'm not 100% sure. Is you'll know, because that I definitely have told you, that my late grandparents were survivors. They fled Germany, in fact, separately. But as two young people, just before the war, they managed to get out, both of them having lost their families. I know that 30 years later, when I was a young person, 30 years or maybe 40 years after that, if I had ever said to my grandmother that she is a refugee, or said to my grandfather that he was a refugee while he lived in Johannesburg, built a life and built a family, I think I would have got, well, because we were allowed to smack our kids back then, I think I would have got a sharp smack, because nobody was going to call my grandparents refugees 20, 30, 40, or 50 years after indeed they were refugees, which always begs the question about UNRWA, because UNRWA is an organization, the United Nations agency responsible for Palestinian refugees. They have been formed primarily to focus on Palestinian refugees, which means that they only exist if refugees exist. Now, they have come under fire. We know this. We have spoken about it many times, about how UNRWA seems to have been involved with October 7th. But there's now arguments to say, well, they need money, they're collapsing, and they do so much good in the region. To help us understand what is really going on there, we are joined by Olga Deutsch. She's Vice President of NGO Monitor. Olga, a very, very good morning to you. Welcome to the Morning Mayhem. Thank you for joining us.
A very good morning to you too, and thank you for having me.
A great pleasure. There's so much, performative angst around what happens if UNRWA collapses. Let's just say that some of that is valid. We know that UNRWA has perpetuated this refugee focus. We know that they participated and have been involved with Hamas. But are there areas where it would be felt negatively if UNRWA were not to exist?
Well, it's a really important myth, so to speak, globally communicated, that we should debunk. First of all, the situation on the ground in Gaza is grave. There is no question about it. Everything beyond the yellow line is still and completely controlled by Hamas. And that is the most urgent part of this discussion. And the international community ought to focus on that, right? And as you mentioned in your introduction, there has been abundance of evidence that UNRWA was not only complicit with Hamas, rather it was part of a very comprehensive and all-encompassing system in which Hamas completely infiltrated and abused humanitarian and aid infrastructures, including UNRWA. Now, UNRWA has a specific stand on this. Number one, it has the largest infrastructure on the ground. And in that sense, its ceasing to function would be felt on the ground. Because let us remind ourselves, it is not just simply a mechanism of funneling money. Rather, they coordinate a system of kindergarten, schools, and provide a lot of infrastructure for social and welfare services in Gaza. But at the same time, UNRWA is the symbol of everything that went wrong with how aid was provided to the Palestinians. And third, and definitely not the least, UNRWA is a political concept and statement. UNRWA perpetuates the Palestinian refugee status, which is a political issue before anything else. As you said, there is absolutely no logic to having third and fourth and fifth generation of refugees in any other part of the world, right? They're either naturalized by the host countries, or eventually they return to their domicile countries. Only in the case of the Palestinians, they can live elsewhere, and they can have grandchildren, and the grandchildren will still have the status of refugees. Politically, this means granting the Palestinian Authority and the Palestinian cause international and political legitimacy, that all these people will eventually return to what the Palestinian Authority would like to see as one state, right? Where if you think that all these refugees would eventually return and have citizenship here, there would be no state of Israel. So the mere political raison d'etre of UNRWA is a cry for there is no state of Israel. Now, it is important to go back to the aid issue. You know, we could debate this politically, but I think at this point, the U.S. statement at the United Nations calling for the international community to not go back to the business as usual, that was the case before October the 7th, which is simply sending money to UNRWA, because even if they acknowledge that there might be some issues, there is no other solution. And we keep hearing this line over and over again. The cry of the U.S. is to basically give money to the Board of Peace as the alternative that is dedicated and works both with the Israelis, but also with the Arab states to dismantle Hamas. And this is particularly important because dismantling Hamas is not just a matter of stripping them off the arms, rockets, etc. It is the war that we have waged has never been only a kinetic war. Hamas and in this aid and UNRWA have played a central role. The war was also a political war, where Hamas used international aid infrastructure to normalize its military and other existence, right? And portray itself as legitimate resistance force, if you'd like. And the backdrop of that continuously erode the legitimacy of the mere existence of the state of Israel. So if we go back to the same modus operandi before October the 7th, we will actually proactively hinder dismantling Hamas. Hamas is only can only exist if the entire international community allows it to exist. And that has never been only the function of whether they have arms or not.
In other words, UNRWA has in a way been a critical aspect to propping up and providing cover for Hamas.
Absolutely. We at NGO Monitor actually have recently issued our newest report that is based on original Hamas documents that the IDF seized in Gaza, that actually show how exactly Hamas used UNRWA and other international aid organizations and the entire infrastructure. They were fully aware of the importance of sort of whitewashing on one hand their activities, but at the same time, think Gaza is not a society like the ones that we know. There is no democracy and there is no functioning society. It is a police state where everything is controlled by Hamas. They insisted that every international aid organization appoints a person, a local Gazan, as a liaison, as a someone to coordinate with Hamas, and they had to approve this person. So this was aid was basically a way for them to both control what aid organizations were doing in Gaza, but also infiltrate their people and give them steady jobs. To work for UNRWA or any other UN agency or international organization was some of the most lucrative jobs in Gaza with best pays, access to, you know, international community, diplomatic community, travel. So this way, they sort of created a system of codependency in Gaza. So if we don't debunk this most sophisticated system of corruption, we will actually continue lending hand to Hamas. And maybe the last point, corruption in the context of aid and abusing and hijacking aid is not unique to Gaza. We see this in every conflict area, anywhere in the world, throughout the history. But what is unique to Gaza is the volume of it. And it, what is unique is that only in Gaza, aid workers and organizations are deeply embedded in the civilian situation, in, and both are completely intertwined with Hamas operatives in a densely populated Gaza, which makes aid even more vulnerable for Hamas to abuse and use. And I think that the U.S. statement at the United Nations is an extremely important important one, because since October the 7th, we have seen that only the U.S., the current U.S. administration has shown a steadfast political dedication to truly tackling the issue of how do we dismantle Hamas, how do we offer the Middle East, the conflict, and finally the people of Gaza a different alternative.
We do need to leave it there, unfortunately, but an absolutely fascinating perspective. Olga Deutsch, thank you as always, Vice President of NGO Monitor, talking to us about UNRWA.